If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
The Knicks, unfortunately, their disgusting performance last night in Game 5. Plenty of blame to go around. And to me, BT, I think too much is being made of that last 2 minutes. We talked about it. You could break it down to certain possessions, missed free throws, missed opportunity all night. The Knicks, it shouldn't have been even a close game or a two-point game when Brunson left the game. But I know, obviously, a lot being made of Tom Thibodeau's decision not to call a timeout and get those guys back in.
And rightfully so, because he chose the timeout over the premier closer in the game of basketball right now. So it's really infuriating to see that happen in real time. The Knicks are obviously a different speed than the other teams in the conference that have a chance to win a championship. We've said this all year. We felt this all year. Not everybody, but some people have felt this all year. And I think last night was just another example of the gap, which is widening between how I perceive the Knicks in relation to the Celtics and the Cavaliers. Closeout games, Cavs win by 55, Celtics win by 31, Knicks lose at home to a team that's basically had, you know, 9 of their 12 active players never played a playoff game. It's been since 2008, before the other night when the organization itself won a playoff game. Cade Cunningham is going to be a stupendous all-time, I believe, player. I think he's going to go down as a great Detroit Piston and a great player. I'm not saying he's quite Isaiah, but in terms of like that rarefied space in Detroit sporting lore, I think he's got a chance to be one of those guys. You know, like a Steve Yzerman. I know they won a lot of cups, so you got to win. But like that, like Dominic Kashuk, like that, like somebody like that, maybe a step below Barry. That's how good I think Cade Cunningham is. But he is a pup, and the Knicks are supposed to be, you know, well-traveled, well-seasoned dogs, and they just haven't shown it. Last night, another example.
We talked about it yesterday before the game, and I'm thinking that, you know, the Knicks are going to win last night in Game 5 and really set the tone and send a message and get ready, get themselves rested and ready for the next round and taking on the Boston Celtics, and that would have been the barometer. Okay, here we go. They built their team for this moment. Would they be good enough? Let's find out. But the one thing that could have changed my excitement or hope for this team or belief in this team would have been a loss last night. I didn't think it was going to happen. I didn't need to see a blowout. I just needed to see a win, and I knew late in that game that it was not going to go in the Knicks' favor. It just felt off. Really, from the beginning on, I never liked it. You figure maybe they come out with a win, okay. But the fact that they ended up losing that game, to me, that showed all that they needed to be seen. Whether it is Tibbs, whether it is Bridges and his fit on this team, whether it is Brunson, Carl Anthony Towns, all over the place. The decision-making, the Knicks are sloppy, trying to feed the ball to Mitchell Robinson. Just all over the place. I think that game, to me, was a definitive. In my mind, as I've been waiting to evaluate this team in big spots all year long, or the postseason really all year long, I was fine with the first four games, people making a big deal out of game one. Oh, they didn't look good even though they won. Not me. Last night, to me, was the first real, it was the first real moment that I was turned off to believing in this team.
And that's a pretty interesting concession or change for you, because you've been opposite of me all year, and it's been an interesting theme on the show. So I feel you, obviously. I hear you. You know, I have to voice another complaint, another gripe that has nothing to do with Tom Thibodeau, but it's about the Knicks, loosely. Can they please get rid of that soft, that faint, that weak, that barely visible, that blurry, stupid logo that they had in midcourt last night?
I'm not disagreeing, but what does that have to do with anything?
Because there is no way. You know why? Because it reflects how they play. You know, those... it has nothing to do with it, I guess, at the end of the day. But it bothers me. It didn't bother me enough to say it the first 5 minutes of the show, but we're 2 hours in. Just some put something bold, you know, like the reel with the triangle, the bold, the blue and the orange that just pops. So when everybody puts on the game, you see Knicks, not like, what does that say? You know, like that's why it's faint. Even their uniforms, like they're trying to, dude, as you get older and your vision goes a little bit, I sincerely look at those things. I'm like, I know it says New York, but I loathe that logo. It is weak. Get rid of it.
What would you change first, Tibbs or the court logo?
Court logo. Because that you could change mid-series.
All right. So you could change that and then keep that. I thought Tibbs was the bigger problem to you, not the court logo.
I hate that logo.
There were many issues for me with this team. I still think they're talented. I'm still not going to second-guess the Carl Anthony Towns trade. I believe in that. I'd love to see this team, you know, I would have loved to have seen them win last night and see what they can do against the Celtics, but I've lost all faith in them. The way that they handled the situation down the stretch last night, I would not fire Tibbs, but I am understanding that that might be the reality after a series like this, even if they win in seven, because there's no way this should go six or seven games with this series. There's no way you could justify losing two home games for a team that you are, they're inferior to you. The Knicks have much more talent than they have. So there's a lot of question marks here. The focal point's going to be the final 2 minutes. It should be everything else as far as I'm concerned. The missed shots, the missed free throws, the lack of cohesion with this team. I don't think it's a toughness. I think that is something that was a problem, or that people thought was a problem. I don't believe that the Knicks lost because they aren't tough. I don't think Carl Anthony Towns is soft. I don't even think Bridges is soft. I think the Knicks play hard, and they are a tough team, one of the tougher teams in the NBA. I don't think that their pieces fit well enough together. That would probably be my number one thing. I think it's the pieces not fitting well together, their stars not being as good as the other team's stars, and then you could question, is the head coach good enough?
Wherever this thing goes, they're going to look different next season. They're going to have to, because this team's they're just not going to win.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Matt is in Pennsylvania. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm feeling like Omar right now, but I'm going to try to keep it cool and make some cohesive points here, man.
Okay, Matt.
I agree with most of what you're saying, but, you know, like for me, I called a couple of months ago, like pleading for Jericho Sims to play, and I know that that's Pat, like in the past, but it's still related to what's going on with this team right now. You got, you know, basically four wings, if you include Brunson, that are just burning out, and you have a second unit where you don't have outlets for guys like Bridges or OG to score. I'm so confused why we don't have a second unit where we feature OG and Mikal Bridges. Sal hit on this couple after game one, actually, when we saw Deuce and Shamet playing together late first quarter. Like, why is that happening? I think if this was a football team and fans are reacting this way, and I'm also, like, I agree with multiple callers ago, Jay, who said, like, I definitely don't want to fire Tibbs. That's not what I'm, you know, like, lobbying for right now. But, like, as a Knicks fan, there has to be a change. If this was a defensive team, if this was a football team, like, you'd have to hire a new offensive coordinator. There has to be some sort of equivalent for that for the Knicks where, like, their second unit makes sense and we're giving an outlet for Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby to score. Like, last night there was moments in that game where I was, like, I was applauding Mikal Bridges for playing like a guy that we traded five first-round picks for. Like, play like you're a guy that we've invested in. Mm-hmm. We need to organizationally create opportunities for these guys where, like Sal just said, Deuce McBride plays point guard, traditional point guard, and he's feeding Bridges and OG the ball while Kat and, you know, Brunson get a rest. And I'm like, I it's so infuriating as a fan, like on a macro level. Why is that not happening? Why is OG and Mikal Bridges standing there like guys we haven't invested our entire future into? And like, just like my final point, I would love for, I think that this is going to sound crazy, but I think we should sit Brunson in game six and give him a rest and like kind of lean into our bench. And I would love to see, like, we haven't seen Precious Achiuwa at all. And no. I think if we get bigger on the four and the five and then kind of like backfill our lineup to where, you know, we're not playing those four guys. We're not playing them together. Get Precious in there.
But I don't maybe like, Matt, I think you bring up excellent calls, and obviously we agree with some stuff. I don't like the idea, BT, of a second unit. I like working some guys in. One thing I liked last night that the Knicks had their quote-unquote bench on the floor, but you still had Karl Anthony Towns and Bridges. That, to me, is good because you have two high-end scorers on the floor while getting a lot of guys rest, and you could go with some of your backups. So I don't need a second unit. And if you're not going to see Achiuwa last night where both big men are in foul trouble, five fouls each, then, I mean, I'm not sure when you're going to see Achiuwa, nor do you want to see Achiuwa. But I'd rather see more defined roles from the bench as opposed to a second unit.
Yeah, I think that's... I think it depends. I mean, you know, even though the Knicks of the 90s didn't win, we knew their second... You know, we knew their bench squad. We knew who was going to come in, and they seemed to come in... Maybe I'm just misremembering, but generally at once. I mean, I'm not saying that Patrick never played with, like, Greg Anthony or another backup, whatever. But I just feel like there's a lack of... there's a lack of understanding of who they are still and what they have. Now, the second one is on the coach. It's your job to understand what you have and what you don't. And it's also your job to react to that and mesh it in a way that's productive. And he did, to the tune of 51 wins against bad teams or against average teams. He's not yet proven that he can figure this out against good teams, whether it's the teams in the NBA regular season he never beats or this Pistons team, which he's yet to beat, and it's become much more complicated than it should be.
But they played them five games. They've won three of those games. I mean, and prior
you like
to
the way
night,
they look? You feel good about them? You yourself said that you feel worse about these Knicks now than you did when it started. How could anybody feel good about them
being,
right now?
Being a championship team, I think it is blatantly absurd to say that they haven't beaten any good teams.
Or who have they beaten?
They themselves are one of the best teams in the league. Forget about what I think. Look up. Why don't you pull up the NBA records right now?
Yeah, 51 wins, 0-10 against the best teams. Okay, I don't have to pull it up.
Okay,
I know what it is.
Well, where do they rank? Was it fourth or fifth in the entire league?
Oh, you're talking about the league? I think it was fifth.
They have the fifth best record in the entire league.
I know. But when
they've obviously, almost every team in the league is beneath them.
Well,
and then even the Pistons, who were saying, well, they're a good team, they didn't beat them. They'd beaten them 3 out of 5 times already. And it should have really been 3 out of 4. Well, it was 3 out of 4. Should have been 4 out of 5 times. But either way, point is, let's not make it like they can't beat good teams. Also, when they played those top teams, they were not fully healthy. So I think that there's where it seems to me, at least, and maybe I'm interpreting this the wrong way, BT, it feels like from where you think that they are, from where a championship level is to where the reality is, they're totally three different levels. Championship level, where they are in reality, and then where you're putting them.
No, I think they're closer to two than to a third level. Like, I'm going to give them that. So the first tier you identified, obviously, championship team, not that.
Right.
But I think that they're closer to that than being a bad team or an average team, but nowhere near close enough to make me feel good.
About being a championship team.
Yeah.
Okay, but then who is? So you have two or three teams, right, every year?
And it's not just it's so easy to say, well, they don't beat the Celtics, the Cavaliers, and the Thunder. Yeah.
Well, but that's what everybody's been saying. That's the only...
But Sal, if I were to look at the standings now, I could find... I think the Pacers might be closer to a championship team.
Right. Okay, so you think the Pacers
maybe
better,
it might be. I'm just saying, I don't think that it's absolutely written in stone that it's after those three teams we always... that it's absolutely
the
Knicks.
We'll see how the Pacers stack up.
If the Lakers had Luka all year, guess what? Lakers are better than the Knicks.
Right. Maybe. Lakers are about to get ousted right now.
I mean, the Knicks lost the season series to the Hawks before the Hawks started selling everybody off, like Hunter, who got traded. They played five times. They won three. I mean, pardon, they lost three. I mean, all right, so they swept the Nets 4 games to 0. Wow, fantastic,
Knicks,
amazing.
I don't understand.
No, I'm saying this because I think that there's context to the 51 wins. Now, if they were smoking the Pistons...
The Knicks were not 100% healthy almost all year long.
Neither were a lot of other teams.
Oh, but I'm not... I can't worry about the other teams.
But you don't have to worry about them, but you got to incorporate it.
Why?
Because it's part of the backdrop of the season.
Okay, so even with all that, they still had the fifth best record in the league.
Mm-hmm.
They still won 50 games. I don't understand how you minimize that just because they didn't beat the Celtics or they didn't beat the Cavs. I don't care about the regular season.
I wouldn't minimize it. That's a fair question. And I'm not trying to be unfair to the Knicks. I wouldn't minimize it if they showed more upside. I think the reason why I minimize it is because it's a very hollow 51 wins to me. Just my opinion. It's a very hollow top four or top five finish to me when they show no ability to elevate. That's all I'm saying. Like, if they dusted the Pistons in five or they played better, even if they won 3 or 4 games against the top teams this year instead of 0, maybe I would kind of reposition, give them more respect, maybe. I just don't think that they've earned that next level of respect, which, because they don't beat great teams.
Which would be championship level.
Yeah.
Okay.
But maybe not, I'm being a little harsh. No, that's fine, but that's just me.
All right, but they're not a championship team.
I know.
I don't think anybody's going to dispute
but
that at this point.
People thought they could be coming into the season.
Correct. Well, okay, but you had to see it play out. And by the way, I thought that they could be up until last night. To me, last night was at least something tangible that you could say they're not going to be a championship team. That, to me, was tangible. They're fully healthy. They had a chance to close out a series against a team that they are far superior than at home after already losing a home game in Game 2, which shouldn't happen to begin with. I'll give them the pass there, but they made up for it by winning Game 3 and 4. That, to me, last night, like the first step in saying, okay, maybe they can be a championship team, to me, would have been closing the Pistons out last night. Not a regular season loss or not beating any. I don't care about that because the circumstance. Fully healthy, at home, game five, in round one of the postseason, you got to be able to put them away, and they did not.
They didn't. And doesn't anybody else find it a little disconcerting that a team with basically no playoff experience walks in and makes themselves feel very comfortable in April in the Garden? I mean, if you used to walk to the Garden, you're lucky if you get out alive as an opposing team. Now they're like, eh, we'll win this game, and we'll win this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've got the right, I don't think they have enough talent, the Pistons, to win this series, but I think they've got the right mentality where they're tough physically and mentally. They have a bunch of tough guys.
They definitely do.
They remind me of, without the big superstar, because the Knicks didn't have that, but of when the Knicks first started with Randall coming back up and getting, you know, being tougher. Maybe that second year, Cade Cunningham is better than anything the Knicks had
then. Yeah, no question.
And maybe eventually now.
And maybe Tobias Harris probably better than their second best player that year.
Right, so they're more talented, but just that toughness, that tenacity,
a little
that they
overachievement.
Play
with. I know what you mean.
It's almost like looking in the mirror a little bit. So we're
Well, right now, if the Knicks look in the mirror and they're honest, they can't love what's staring back at them.
Yeah.
They can't. I mean, they can change what's staring back at them, but they can't like what's staring. I don't like what's staring back at them.
Correct, but you still think they're going to win this first round series, right?
Not convinced. Honestly, yeah. I'm not. Not convinced. I think we're getting to game seven.
Right.
I think they're going to lose to game six.
Well, but you think they're going to win or lose, though?
I think they're going to lose game six.
Okay.
And, I mean, what does a prediction mean? Nothing. But,
I think that
they'll probably find a way to win.
Right, okay, me too. I think that they're, I think they're still going to win the first round, which still gets us to the same spot. Where my change is now I lost the belief or the hope based off of last night. But they still would get to the second round and take on the Celtics and see what they could do. I mean, that to me is the only difference. You nothing has really changed for you. You thought this was going to go six to begin with.
I did. I said Knicks in six.
Right.
But I thought that they would be more dominant in some of the wins.
Right. Okay.
That's what's jarring to me. Like, and again, it's predictions. Whatever. We've missed a million things. I don't even care about that. I really don't. I don't care about being right or wrong. Because we react to what we see. And I thought the Knicks would win in six, but I thought they'd win a couple games by 16, 15, just light them up. And it's not happening.
That's the point. So it doesn't matter whether they win six or seven. There's no reason to believe, based on what we've seen, whether you want to evaluate the regular season and have that hold water, whether I want to look at singular game five, whether somebody else wants to look at something different. The Knicks have not given us any reason to believe that they can beat Boston if they are fortunate enough to get to the next round.
I have zero belief that they will.
So we all get to the same place eventually.
Yeah.
And then it's going to become a matter of, okay, well, if they do get there, when they eventually lose to Boston, how are they going to try to get themselves to that next level?
But there's still two different routes on the app. Like, one would be Waze and one would be Google Maps, because we can all arrive at round two, hey, we're where we thought they would be in unison. But I do think, depending upon if it's really non-competitive with Boston, if they even get there, I think those who really believed in Tom Thibodeau, I think you'll see more dissenting views there. I think those who really believed about the upside championship of this particular group, I think you'll see some of those people jumping off the bandwagon. So, yeah, we might be sitting here next week, Knicks and Celtics round two, but I believe the enthusiasm and the belief by those who were really all in or kind of close, I think you'll see some diminished beliefs, and I think that you have to.
What's your gut on what they will do with Tibbs? Based on how you think it's going to play out.
I believe they're going to bring him back.
Wow.
He's got 4 years to go, and he's boys with Rose.
I know, but last night was bad.
It was about as bad as it could get.
I'm in favor of bringing him back. I'm just saying, last night made me think for the first time they may...
they might move on.
Well, this may come from Dolan. I mean, this is not... You know.
Well, I mean, it made a change with the Rangers, and the Rangers won the President's Cup a year ago, and the Rangers were almost in the Stanley Cup Finals a year ago, so Dolan is not averse to change. I do think he really likes the consistency with these Knicks. I mean, it's been very quiet in the Garden in terms of controversy. It's been a pleasure to watch. It's been really... You know, without all the messy circus drama that we went through with Isaiah and Phil Jackson, et cetera. So I know he likes that because he was chasing that for a long time. If he had a year or two to go on his deal, I think they would move on from the 4 years is going to probably change what they do.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
One quick thing. I was just reading Adam Schefter had that more pranks were on draft day. Abdul Carter got a prank call before he got selected. I guess it was somebody calling him saying it was the Jaguars on the clock with number two.
Maybe it was LT.
Marash had a great tweet saying that in turn, Carter then pranked Lawrence Taylor asking him for his number. Like, if you're LT and you hear that, you got to be thinking, is this a prank? Get the hell out of here. Asking me for 56. Anyway, I don't know what's gone on here with the draft, but it's not just Ulbrich's son who the Falcons were fined, and Ulbrich was fined a significant amount. Imagine costing your dad $100,000. Ooh.
That was a lot of your salary for a couple of years, back in the day, for sure. Meaning, if you add it up.
I actually think
back in the day,
I actually think my father would have killed me had I done that.
I'm trying to think of the worst thing that I ever did and what his reaction was. That's probably when I took his car out for a joyride, the new Maxima. God, I honestly, he might put me through a wall face first at that point, and I would have deserved it.
It would not be pretty. So who knows what's going on in the Olbrich family, but they're $100,000 a lighter. But how about the prank calls? Like, what are we doing here? We've gotten to that point in society where people think it's funny.
So mean-spirited.
And by the way, maybe it has happened for a while, because I saw some reports about that too, but now because of social media, it's more... you know, noticeable, or it's more out there in the mainstream because you're more prevalent out there.
Yeah.
But either way, it's not like, who thinks that that's a good idea or funny? It's such a horrible thing to do to somebody.
Well, the prank calls, to your point, have been around forever. I mean, whether it's the Jerky Boys doing some stuff back in the day, we used to make prank calls, but we would never make a prank call that played with somebody's emotions.
Right.
It would be like, hey, did you order a pizza? You know, something stupid. That's completely benign to their life, not messing with their dreams that they've worked so hard for. That, to me, that's just a lack of character or a lack of empathy and sensitivity towards other people. And obviously, you differentiate between a 9-year-old picking up the phone and doing something stupid versus a grown man. I think Olbrich's son is 21.
Yeah.
I think he's 21, whatever it is, something like that. So you obviously know that
it's wrong.
This,
you know,
is
that
just
it's wrong.
A wrong thing to do, and he did it anyway. I don't care how profusely you apologize. I'm not looking to put you in jail. But I don't really know. You'd have to do a lot of good for me to change my opinion of you.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Back to the topic at hand. It is the Knicks. Jerry's in Wilton, Connecticut. What's up, Jerry?
What's up, fellas? How you doing today?
Good.
Hey, Jer.
So, look, I'm still reeling a bit from the underwear discussion, so you're going to have to give me a little bit of rope here.
Yeah.
My Sal's tighty-whities when he's trying to get it on for the first time?
I did not have what you guys are wearing under your jeans on my bingo card for what I'm going to think about. But anyway, look, I'm going to change my point a little bit so as not to repeat a lot of what's been said here. And then if you'll let me, after you react, I got a quick theory I want to float. Maybe you can have some fun with that. Yeah. Look, I think the indictment, you guys, is that the case of Tibbs is that there doesn't seem to be an offensive identity for this team that goes beyond the talent and individual skill sets of these players and the heart and hustle with which they play. And I know this because, to BT's point, that talent and the gap with the rest of the NBA can get them to 51 wins. But when you get to the type of team like Detroit, like Boston, like Cleveland, like OKC, they all share the same trait. They're big. They're long. They lean into you. They drape over you all night. And the Knicks can't adjust to that. And what you're left with is swamp ball, you know, where you're just dribble, dribble, dribble. You're forcing passes. And that's on Tibbs. You need to have some defaults you can go to. You need to have some adjustments. It's not just about ball movement. It's about set plays. Mm-hmm. It's about substitutions. There's just no identity here. And the only adjustment seems to be wait for Jalen to put on the cape.
Yeah, and look, Jerry, it's interesting that you would bring up the boxer briefs discussion that we had and then also reference swamp ball, because one would say that. Well, I mean, he said it.
You just had that one teed up in the moment he said it. That's good. That's actually really good. Absolutely gross, but
yeah,
good.
Anyway, I do think the Pistons are a difficult defensive matchup. Of course, that's their game, but it's just a lot that goes into it, independent of what the Pistons have been able to do to the Knicks. The Knicks make it seem so hard to score buckets, and it shouldn't be that hard when you have as much talent as they have.
Yeah. Some of the talent's redundant, as we've talked about, so that might kind of cross or negate some of the talent or the ability to do certain things. I just don't think the Knicks have a lot of good penetrators. Like, you know, I know OG stepped it up a little bit in the postseason last year. You were calling him out on that. He started going to the rim a little bit more. But that's not – he doesn't look incredibly natural going to the rim. He's not a slasher.
Hart attacks the rim.
Josh Hart does. Well, Brunson attacks the rim in transition. He more attacks to, like, the mid-range floater, which he's great at, incredibly adept at that. And Bridges is a great mid-range shooter. He truly is. But he's not really slicing and getting to the rim and the N1s and the dunks. Now, I'm not saying that every team has that anyway, but the Knicks don't seem to really have any guy like that. Josh Hart can do it, at least because Josh has a combination of bully ball and slash a little bit, but he's only 6'4". Generally, you want a guy who's like 6'7", 6'8", who's doing that kind of work.
The bigger point, though, is there is a lack of facilitating. There is a lack of ball movement. There is a lack of crispness to the Knicks' offensive possessions far too often, and I thought it was going to be different. The best example of, to me, a high-functioning offense was when the Knicks first traded for Anunoby last year. Right, this was 2 years ago
when they traded for him. Yep. Last year they got him. Remember, okay. They went like 15-2 with him and Randall and Brunson. Correct. Last year
when they first traded for Anunoby a year ago, before Randall got hurt, they were a highly efficient offense.
They were awesome.
The ball was moving. It was crisp. They were knocking down shots. They looked at that point, the 15-2 record, like a championship team. Doesn't mean that they were going to win one if they stayed healthy, but I watched that team saying, "Wow, this could be a championship team. Let's see." Unfortunately, because of all the injuries, we never got to see it. And then they made the decision because there was some thought that they would run it back. Remember, you and I had this conversation. You were saying they're going to trade Randall in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying I'd like to see them stand pat and keep it together.
But we all knew they couldn't retain Hartenstein because of the CBA limitations. But anyway, everybody else.
I meant more like I wanted to see what Randall could do. Unfortunately, we never got a chance to see that. And when it was Carl Anthony Towns coming the other way, I was okay with it because he was not the player that I expected to come back. So I was happy and know that Towns, I'd take Towns over Randall any day.
You have to.
But we have not seen that crisp ball movement, the wide open looks after multiple passes. It's just not there with their offense.
Well, it's not. And I think part, not all of this is attributable to the person I'm about to mention. Part of the reason why I worked in a small dose with those three players last year is that Hartenstein is a great passer. And Cat's got a lot of skill. Carl Anthony Towns, very talented. He's not the passer. Like, they would literally give the ball foul line extended, you know, high post there. And Hartenstein would just hit guys cutting. But more importantly, the pass that sets up the pass. He was very good at, like, the hockey assist. Very good at that.
So then how about finding somebody instead of Mitchell Robinson? You're going to sacrifice defense and rebounding.
Mm-hmm.
And find somebody to be a poor man's Hartenstein, like you did.
I'd love to.
But then you also would have to play him with Carl Anthony Towns. That's part of the deal here where you want Cat on the perimeter. Now, if he wants to fake a shot and take it to the rim, whatever. But I want the Knicks offense, if it's going to run through the center like it did Hartenstein and then have him kick it out and facilitate, then they need to find that. Because whatever their offense is now, tell me what it is, because it's all over the place. It could be Brunson one-on-one. It could be Cat one-on-one.
Yeah.
You know,
right now, it's pretty much hoping Cat hits a 30-foot bomb.
Yeah, I mean,
He did it last night.
At times, sure.
This seems to be the clutch offense.
But it's not even finding Anunoby. Bridges has had some open looks, sure, and he's missing some of them. But it's not just, there is no consistency to it or crispness to it with the Knicks. And that is going to be something that's going to have to be addressed, obviously, in the offseason. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll come back. More of your calls talking Knicks. We'll get to baseball next hour as well.
All right, looking forward to a little bit. Good night for both the Yanks and the Mets. Some good baseball stuff going on.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Continue the conversation on the phones with the Knicks. And there's a lot of ways you could go with it. We've done a lot of that, whether it's Tibbs or Brunson or Cat. We went over all the players, all the scenarios from last night. Overall, that was a performance to me that is just unacceptable from the Knicks and really everybody, BT. That's one thing we could agree on. We could differ on who to blame.
Yeah.
One thing we agree on is that that performance, that game cannot happen from a team that wants to be considered a championship team.
You can't win at the Garden. We can't take you very seriously.
Oh, come on. Gus is calling from Ridgewood. What's up, Gus?
Hey, Gus.
Hey, what's going on, gents? Good to speak with y'all again.
All right, buddy. So I was watching
both of the games last night, one at Citi Field and then one in the Metro Club, obviously the Knicks being the one in the Metro Club. And I was enjoying a bit of the Soto effect, watching all those home runs hit up. But that's not even the main point that I wanted to talk about. There's just a couple of main points that I wanted to raise up. The Knicks are perfect in Detroit right now. They won every game except, and then Detroit won every game except for one at MSG this year. Now, look, it's just an outlier, and sometimes there are years that weird records like that will present themselves. Look, I promise you guys, we're going to win tomorrow. We'll call it a series, and then we'll focus on the Celtics squad that may take us for granted. And
Gus, why would you believe in the Knicks after what you've seen so far, specifically last night? Why would you believe that they have a chance against the Celtics?
Did you see those shots that Mikal Bridges was able to make in the last second? They made it a 1-point game with about, 5 seconds left to go?
Oh, my God.
I think the heart's there. I think the heart's there.
Gus.
They don't make those shots.
Hang a banner,
and
Gus.
You don't make those shots.
Right next to Melo's jersey. Hang a banner up there. They made it a 1-point game.
That's a good effort, Sal. You know, we can't expect too much from these guys. You know, Gus, don't take this the wrong way, Gus. But Gus is emblematic. What's wrong with society? Yeah, give everybody a trophy. You guys did a good job. You almost won. Here you go. You know,
He
scored no baskets for the team this year, you know, in the third grade, but we're going to give you the MVP. Yeah. Good job, Joey.
You're right. We want to get everybody involved.
Come on, dude.
Gus. You got to get back to us. Come on, man. I get the enthusiasm and the excitement to be a fan.
I do, too.
If you can't be critical of that team after last night, then what are we doing here? They deserve to be ripped to shreds for their performance at home again. And furthermore, if you don't want to rip them, fine. But don't come on and praise them because Bridges hit a tough shot that made it a 1-point game. Like, what? What are we talking about? And the next level to that, and really this is the most important level, how can you, based on anything that you've seen, regular season, postseason, believe that the Knicks could legitimately beat the Celtics?
I don't. I never have. I never have.
Right. Now, it doesn't mean that it can't happen. Crazy things happen in sports.
Sure. But Tatum turns an ankle, changing everything. Not that I want to see that, but you know.
But if you were to ask me this yesterday, I could answer back, well, I like the regular season. I would fight off and say the regular season, as I have many times, guys were hurt, they weren't whole. Postseason so far through four games, they've won a couple of road games. They showed some toughness. They bounced back after a brutal game two. Everything was still out in front of the Knicks, and I could make a good argument as to why I would give them a chance against Boston in the second round, even though it's an uphill battle because we know how good Boston is. After last night, I can no longer say that. So if you're taking me out of the argument now, somebody who was backing this team, believing in them, I just don't see where the logic can come from. What have they shown you, tangibly shown you, to make you think they could beat the Celtics?
Yeah, and again, let's make sure we have separation, which you did just there. You know, we're not talking about necessarily finding a way to beat the Pistons,
right,
but to actually beat the Boston Celtics. And it's going to be a very quick turnaround that the Knicks even get there. Game 7 is going to be set for Tuesday night at the Garden. If they win that, whatever, then it's all right, load up. Celtics been chilling for a couple days. They are resting. They are healthy. They are deep. They are champions. They expect to win. The odds makers expect them to win. And here come the Knicks, bloody, battered, and bruised, and with a day on the couch to get ready and beat the Celtics. Good luck.
Well, this is round,
sounds like a good recipe.
It's round one. Again, last year's excuse was, the Sixers shouldn't have been a 7 seed.
Yeah, that was like a 4-5. No doubt.
You know,
even higher than that, really.
They're taking on a higher.
Yeah.
The Knicks won the second seed, but they're taking on a team that really should be higher than 7. That was the excuse for a longer, tougher, physical, back-and-forth nature of a first-round series.
No question.
What's the excuse this year? Yeah, the Pistons are tough. Yeah, they're okay. But, like, are you good or not? It's the first round. I'm not saying you got to sweep them, but to have a closeout game at home?
Should have been wrapped in 5. Should have smacked them in 5, and that's what you should have done.
Bobby's in Seaford. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, guys. Hi. You know, when we look at Mikal Bridges, a name that comes to mind for me is DeJounte Murray. And if you remember, the Knicks were interested in Murray.
I do,
and
yep.
I think that one of the reasons they invested so much in Bridges was he was going to be that stretch two, that shooting guard, that guy with size that could match up, be a swing man, and then pull back defensively and compensate for Brunson's undersize. And he really hasn't worked out. He's failed miserably. His shooting has been terrible all season. And
Bobby. I mean, you got to be a little fair. It's not been terrible all season. Bridges has been.
No, you're right. No, it has not been terrible.
Okay.
But I think when you look at what they had him going to be in that two, that swing man kind of play off of Brunson, I don't think it's really worked out where he's been that shooting and then that all defensive guy.
I agree.
He could match up against the best, you know, point guard, the shooting guard, and then they could pull Brunson back because he was a little undersized. I don't think it's really worked out. So
I think you're right.
I don't know. It's just a point. So we'll see how it goes.
I just don't like the fit. And thank you for the call, Bobby. I don't like the fit. I like the appeal of, okay, well, you could rest a bunch of your guys and still have Cat and Bridges on the floor. In theory, that's great because one of the Knicks had two scorers like that for their quote-unquote second unit. But I don't like the fit of Bridges because I think he is redundant with OG Anunoby. And the play that I stick on, I know everybody's talking about the timeout or the lack thereof before you got Brunson and Harpacken in the game. The play that stuck out to me, down six, 50 seconds to go, under a minute to go, down six, and Bridges pulls up for a mid-range two that he made with Anunoby in the corner wide open for a three. If you're fully clicking on offense, that's a spot where you're passing it to the guy that you trust to be a 3-and-D guy and knock down that shot, who's had a great game, by the way, Anunoby. Make that a one-possession game. It changes everything, and Bridges didn't. He was selfish, pulled up, hit the shot. I'm not saying that's why they lost.
Yep.
I'm saying that is a bigger problem with the inherent nature of this team, the chemistry of this team, where you're not finding the open man, what would have been, to me, the smarter basketball player.
And maybe that's what Wally Szczerbiak was talking about a couple of weeks ago when he talked about, you know, what he expected the Knicks to do. And if they didn't do that, basically mop an inferior team, then maybe it's an larger issues. Yeah, I disagree a little bit on the mechanics there. We went through it, so don't really need to reset it. Basically, the gist was I didn't have an issue with the two-point shot because there was 50 seconds to go and a lot of possessions. If you get a stop, which they didn't, you stretch the game out, maybe find a way to win it. But what really sticks with me, that's your sequence. My sequence, it's an ironic because, you know, I was screaming. I'm like, he won you game one. He picked up a couple of early fouls in game two. He played 4 minutes. You forgot about him. My problem last night, I want to see campaign play a little bit. I don't want to see campaign taking a floater with a minute and 43 seconds left in an elimination game with Jalen Brunson watching.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
McBride and campaign on the floor down the stretch is unacceptable. On the floor is unacceptable.
Yes.
Shooting the basketball is even worse. All right, yep. BT and Sal on the fan. Come back. More of your calls with the Knicks. We'll also work in baseball next hour as well. 888-808-1019.